Pawpaw season is just around the corner. If you haven't seen one, it's a greenish-yellow fruit with large seeds inside the pulpy interior. It fits in the palm of your hand. Even though you probably can't find a pawpaw in a grocery store, it's been part of the human food system for thousands of years in its range, which includes Pennsylvania, Ohio, and other parts of Appalachia. It's one of the foods that many indigenous people lost when they were forcibly moved from their ancestral lands. But not completely lost, because it turns out some carried the pawpaw with them. Inside Appalachia reporter Brian Costco has more.
It's early August, a fresh summer afternoon in Jackson County, Ohio. Behind me is the Leo Petroglyph, a huge rock carved with images of animals and humans. It's the work of indigenous Americans who visited this site over 1,000 years ago. I'm here with Chris Schmiel, the founder of the Ohio Pawpaw Festival. What we're searching for isn't made of stone, but just like the petroglyph, it survived here for thousands of years.
These pawpaws are on the edge of the forest. There's a clump of them about 15 or so feet away, and there's, you know, they grow in a patch.
Chris is an expert in all things pawpaw, and over the years, he's noticed something about where pawpaws grow.
It just seems like every one of these ancient sites I hear about or talk about with someone, they mention there's pawpaws everywhere at places like Shawnee Lookout, the Serpent Mound, there's pawpaws there, this place.
The mounds are earthworks that functioned as graves and ceremonial sites for the Hopewell, Adena, and later the Fort Ancient people, a Native American cultural group that flourished in the Ohio River Valley from about 1000 to 1600 AD. Some scholars believe that the Fort Ancient people, who made the Leo Petroglyph, were ancestors of the Shawnee, who by the 17th century would call this part of Ohio home.
These are ancient native plants. They're well adapted to our soils and the region. So these things have been here for a long time.
We know that the pawpaw was an important resource for the Shawnee. How? Because even after being forcibly removed from this region by the U.S. government in the early 19th century, it left an imprint on Shawnee culture. Joel Barnes is one of the major guardians of Shawnee culture and language in the present day.
I'm the language director and archives director for the Shawnee tribe. I'm also a Shawnee tribal member.
He explains that the Shawnee mark time by the phases of the moon.
And that means pawpaw month. It's the month of September. That literally means pawpaw moon.
The pawpaw was important enough to the Shawnee people's way of life that they named a moon after it.
That moon would indicate that was the time the pawpaws were right. It was time to go pick them, and probably also an indicator, hey, we're getting close to winter.
Joel's ancestors were forcibly moved from their Ohio Valley home in Appalachia by the Indian Removal Act of 1830. The Shawnee were sent first to Kansas, and then after the Civil War, they were pushed into Oklahoma. For the Shawnee, the pawpaw is a direct tie to Appalachia and their uprooted past. It's hard to find out in Oklahoma because the state is located at the edge of the tree's climate zone.
I do know in present day we have some tribal members that have planted them out in their yards just to get them to grow. They're not quite that abundant in this part of Oklahoma. Once you start moving east and get over into Missouri and around Joplin areas, you start seeing more and more of them pawpaw trees.
Joel does remember eating the fruit when he was growing up. It was rare, but it existed.
We never did get really fancy with it. We would just cut it open, peel it, and just eat it. It was pretty good, and I've ate some off and on throughout my life, but it's been a while since I've had any.
Cut off from their ancestral homeland and the plants that grow there, Joel says the Shawnee have seen some of the pawpaw's cultural relevance fade with time.
Some of these old folks, they all had them, they've all ate them, but there's nothing really as far as any type of ceremonial dance or any type of ceremony in regards to the pawpaws. Just if there ever was, nobody knows.
But somehow, through all of that upheaval and across all those miles, the Shawnee's connection to the pawpaw tree has endured. It is a food largely absent from their physical surroundings, but traces of it still persist in memory and in the Shawnee language itself.
That means I'm hungry for pawpaw.
Dr. Devin Mahasua has devoted her life to recovering lost knowledge of indigenous foods. She is a professor at the University of Kansas, a citizen of the Choctaw Nation, and also a Chickasaw descendant. Distressed by the lack of knowledge of traditional foodways among her people, Devin has made pawpaw and other pre-contact foods a focus of her research.
I have just spent decades taking a look at travelers' reports, you know, people who observed back in the 1700s coming through. Nobody ever mentioned pawpaw. You know, they just say this strange fruit.
She hasn't found any traditional pawpaw recipes among the Choctaw, who called the Mississippi Valley and Southern Appalachia home before they were forced west. She says there's a reason for that. Like a banana, the pawpaw has a short window of ripeness. That meant that it was probably consumed right on the spot, a convenient fast food.
You know, they would just wait until just the time to eat it. They don't store well, you know, and maybe they dried it. It could be that they mixed it with other things, which is what I like to do.
Despite the difficulty of obtaining written records, Devin has her own special ways of preparing pawpaw that extend its use. She mashes it, mixes it with berries, cooks it down into a flavorful sauce, and then freezes it. Occasionally, she'll add it to cornbread. And even though they had to forage to find pawpaws, her Choctaw grandparents introduced her to the fruit when she was a child.
My grandparents lived in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and they had a massive garden. It was a model of my grandmother's ancestors when they lived in Mississippi. And they had all kinds of trees. They didn't have pawpaws, but they knew where they were.
Just like Joel, Devin has childhood memories of pawpaw, even though it was scarce. Her first taste was in her grandmother's kitchen.
It was delicious. It was just the most amazing flavor. It was like a sort of like a banana mango combo with a hint of a little strawberry.
Devin runs a popular Facebook group on indigenous foodways. There's a lot of interest among American Indians in getting reacquainted with the food their ancestors ate, she says. But many are disappearing or not available where they live, like the pawpaw.
It's one of these foods where some people will never get a chance to taste it.
There are a few pawpaw trees in Kansas where she currently lives, but the fruit tends to be on private property and inaccessible.
I just wish people who had them on their property, you know, recognized and appreciated what they have.
Devin is attempting to regain access to the food her ancestors ate. 3 years ago, she decided to try and grow pawpaw herself. She's propagating about 50 seeds in containers and eventually hopes to transplant them. It's a long process.
I ate the fruit and then I packed the seeds away and I put them in the refrigerator. They overwintered. And then I took them out at the end of February and planted them. And nothing happened for months and months. And it wasn't until the end of July that finally one sprouted.
It'll be years until they're ready to transplant, and even longer until they bear fruit. So why is she going through all this trouble? Devin believes that not having access to where your ancestors lived and the foods they ate is a form of historical trauma that needs to be healed.
For most tribes, that is where, you know, they believe they were created. It's sacred areas, they're sacred plants, it's where they're dead or buried. It's very important that people who are interested in learning their culture and being reconnected to their culture understand what it was that sustained their ancestors.
As the pawpaw demonstrates, food touches so many aspects of culture, including language, seasonal life, and cosmological stories.
The food teaches us all of these different lessons that expand into every aspect of your life.
By bringing these foods and their lessons back into circulation, Devin hopes to address some of the losses her people have sustained. It's easy to take the abundance of pawpaw for granted in the hills of Appalachia. But far away, on the plains of Oklahoma, it's a piece of precious history for those who once called this region home. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Brian Costco in Athens, Ohio.
Brian's story is part of an episode of Inside Appalachia, a podcast from West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.